Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We like hanging out with you. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community. Joining us right now from Kentucky, we've got Bill Londrigan, president of the Kentucky AFL-CIO. Bill, welcome back. We may not have Bill. Bill was on another line, and he was taking another call. And we're so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about it. Bill Londrigan is president of Kentucky AFL-CIO. And as you know, recently they have had a change in the House of Representatives in Kentucky. It shifted to the Republicans after many years of being Democrat held. Long story short, some of our Republican friends in Kentucky have decided, well, it's time for stripping away prevailing wage, stripping away Davis-Bacon, which are some of the protections that the states put in place to protect themselves from contractors coming in from out of state, people you don't know doing work, doing governmental work, so on and so forth, the fly-by-nights. And then also right to work for less. And there's some other things, paycheck protection, which is making it illegal to pay your union dues while through payroll deduction. You can pay everything else. I mean, you can send money to your church, but just not your union. You know, there's some other things going on there. This is an all-out assault on working people. And we do have Bill now. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Charles. Great to be here. Thank you.
Bill, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. We were talking a little bit about some of our Republican friends in the state legislature in Kentucky doing things that are not in the best interest of all working people in Kentucky. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is what we've had here, Charles, since the election here, of course. You know, we lost control of our Kentucky House, and for the first time in Kentucky history, the Republicans gained control of the Kentucky House, the state Senate, and now the governor's office as well. And, Charles, this is just another domino, shall we say, you know, in this effort by the Koch brothers, Alec, the Chamber of Commerce, and a number of other groups to turn back the clock on workers across the United States. And obviously we've seen this in several other states, near Kentucky, Indiana, Wisconsin, Michigan, and West Virginia. And we were the last domino to fall for the southern states. We had been the only non-right-to-work state in the South. This Saturday, Charles, they came in for a special session so that they could slam three bills through the legislature in record time. Charles, normally this session consists of a four-day organizational session, which would have been last week, and then there's a break where they come back in February for the remaining 26 days to the 30-day session. And Charles, they're so hell-bent on, I guess you would say, retribution that they made sure that they pushed these bills through the legislature in record time and couldn't get them done without adding a day on Saturday, something that hasn't happened for decades. There has never been a Saturday session during a regular session of the legislature. So they came back in to pass the bills from each chamber and get them passed on the floor of the House and Senate. And that's what occurred Saturday. Prior to that, Charles, they brought the bills up in committee on Wednesday. The first day they came into session was Tuesday. Wednesday, they were hearing bills in committee where, newly elected representatives hadn't even had an office, a phone number, or no way to contact them, no email at the legislative offices. But yet they were able to hold committee meetings on these bills and not give legislators the time to even read what's in them. And Charles, one of the most egregious things that happened in this whole fiasco was on Wednesday when the House committee was going to hear the bills. There was literally hundreds and hundreds of union members in the hallway waiting to get in and take a seat in the hearing room which was supposed to open up at a quarter to 12, 15 minutes before the hearing was supposed to take place. And Charles, the doors were closed and the blinds were pulled, and nobody realized, in fact, we weren't able to realize because we were kept outside the room, that the room was occupied, Charles. And it was occupied by a group of folks that are supported, paid for, and brought in by the Koch brothers, Charles. It was the Americans for Prosperity. They had themselves a luncheon or a breakfast in there. I believe it was a breakfast, and it was supposed to go from 10 to 11. But lo and behold, they weren't required to leave the hearing room prior to the hearing itself. And when the doors were opened by the doorkeepers, wow, all the seats were still taken by the people from Americans for Prosperity for Plutocrats, Charles. And myself and several people that were going to testify against these bills, you know, had to kind of force our way into the room so that we could testify. We did get that opportunity. The governor came in, Charles, and he talked about how great Right to Work was and prevailing wage repeal, how much they needed that. And when he left the room, Charles, there were still hundreds of union members out in the hallways being rather boisterous about how we have been treated, not only by the legislation itself, but by the lockout of the union members from the hearing room. And I can tell you the governor, when he left the room, got an earful. So that's what happened on Wednesday. Saturday, the bills came through to be voted on both sides of the legislative chambers of House and the Senate. And lo and behold, Charles, several thousand union members showed up. And Charles, they were loud and they were proud, and they were there to hold their legislators accountable for this legislation that is nothing but a attack on labor unions as well as an attack on all Kentuckians. Because, as you know, Right to Work for Less lowers wages for all workers. Prevailing wage protects the interests of all construction workers, not just union construction workers, Charles. And we had a heck of a day in the Capitol, and I was very proud to see union members from all over Kentucky, from every different trade and every different union, all standing there together with one voice, Charles. And we took the narrative away from the Republicans about this so-called Right to Work and maintained the position of how this is just damaging legislation for the people of Kentucky. And Charles, you know, I would tell you that we're not done. We may have lost the battle, but we're still going to fight this war.
You know, Bill, this is the interesting thing. I didn't know the Koch brothers moved down to Kentucky. Oh, they didn't.
Well,
they didn't. Right. No, but what they did is they walked up and down the halls of the Kentucky legislature and started handing out checks and packs of money. And what they did is they bought themselves a state legislature. And that's not the first time. Probably won't be the last. And they, and quite frankly, they bought the disloyalty of members of the House and Senate in Kentucky for pennies.
Right.
30 pieces of silver. But here's the deal. And here's what people are going to come to the realization about very shortly. That prevailing wage was the average wage that people made doing a certain job in construction in Kentucky anyway. So now it's going to be a race to the bottom. It's going to be, let's see how low we can pay our employees and how much money can we take off of our employees and stick in our pockets if we're a construction company.
Right.
Because that's how it works. The taxpayers don't get cheaper projects. They get less of a tax base to collect taxes from wages. They get less in the way of cops, firemen, and paramedics. They get more potholes and more kids and stuffed into a classroom. This is something that politicians have done for their own personal political campaign benefit at the expense of everybody in the state of Kentucky. Despite what the Koch brothers and everybody else tells you, wages in Kentucky are going to go down 20%. Healthcare in Kentucky is going to suffer. The education system in Kentucky is going to suffer. you're going to have more crime and more people dying on the streets because of what these politicians have done. And I don't know how they look themselves in the mirror in the morning.
Neither do we, Charles. You know, and it's a little discouraging that, as you stated, I think very clearly, that the Koch brothers didn't come to Kentucky, but their money did. Not only that, but large amounts of money from the National Republican Party. Charles literally spending millions of dollars here to flip our Kentucky House to the to Republican side, going after very decent legislators that have stood with labor for decades and others that got knocked out of the box. It really is kind of sad, but, you know, it's a recognition of what's going on in this country, and it's a, you know, a call to a wake-up call, it should be, for folks here as well as in other parts of the country. They should have recognized that this wave is moving across the country. And, Charles, we've talked about this before. It gets back to Citizens United, the unlimited amounts of money that billionaires can throw into the political system, take control of these kind of legislative bodies, and get their way, which is primarily to lower wages so they can make more profits and to hurt unions so that they aren't as effective as they could be. They want to take away the power of the organized portion of the labor movement so that they can control everything from top to bottom and make more money than they are already making. I just don't understand it myself.
Bill, well, we got to take a break. We're really over, and I apologize for that. When we come back, it's pretty simple. Here's my question to you. When did the members of the Kentucky legislature decide it was okay to hate fellow Kentuckians? I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Bring those jobs back home, Donald Trump bellowed to those greed-headed corporate executives who have hauled our middle-class jobs out of country. Or I'll slap you with a big tariff when you try to sell your foreign-made products here. Great stuff, Donnie. And to prove you mean business, I know just the CEO you should target first. Her name is Ivanka. Yes, your daughter. Her multimillion-dollar line of clothing, sold through major national retailers ranging from Macy's to Amazon, are pitched to America's working women. Yet, practically all of her products are made on the cheap in low-wage factories in China, Indonesia, Vietnam, anywhere except America. Imagine the message it would send to runaway corporations and the integrity it would establish for the Donald if he slapped his first tariffs on Ivanka's goods. But neither Daddy Trump nor the daughter want to discuss the embarrassing conflict between his political bluster and her ethic of runaway capitalism. Instead, she's tried to dodge the issue by saying it doesn't matter since she'll, quote, separate herself from the business if she becomes a White House advisor. Nice try, Ivanka, but the stench of hypocrisy will only grow nastier if you're at your father's side while he castigates and punishes other corporations that have absconded from America. The only way to salvage even an iota of moral virtue is to repatriate the manufacturing of your brand-name apparel. And bringing those middle-class jobs home to the good old U.S. of A. would also make a powerful political statement. But no. Showing that money trumps both political savvy and the morality of simply doing what's right, Ivanka says her corporate brand will stay offshore. As a spokeswoman put it, we want to make responsible business decisions. This is Jim Hightower saying, really? How does that make America great again?
Oh, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We like hanging out with you. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Join me today, we got Bill Londrigan, president of Kentucky AFL-CIO. Bill, welcome back.
Great to be here, Charles. Thanks.
Bill, you know, I do not understand when politicians think it is okay to harm their constituents. And I'm talking about people that voted for them, people that didn't vote for them, people that didn't vote. When politicians make that decision that it's okay to harm the community that they're supposed to represent in lieu of a campaign contribution, shame on them. You know, this is right to work for less means less pay, more work, more people getting hurt on the job. again, it means less taxes available for payroll. It means less cops, less firemen, less paramedics that can be paid for by the communities. It takes longer to get to those potholes. And the school districts end up having to stuff more kids into a classroom. And these politicians do it, and they say, oh, no, those unions, they were just doing terrible things to people. Like fighting for $15 an hour. Like fighting for health care coverage. Like fighting against wage theft. Fighting for people's life and right to work in a safe, healthful environment. That's those terrible things that those unions were doing. Bill, you know this, I know this, we've had this conversation. Now is the time that people need to be educated, and they need to pick up the phone and they need to call their state rep. And they need to tell them, you know what? This is bogus. You're hurting me. You're hurting my business, my small business. You're hurting my community.
Charles, you know, it's almost, it's a mindset that's developed. And, you know, it's all about, you know, making sure that businesses get all the benefits. And Charles, look, we look at these tax incentives and all these breaks that are constantly, you know, just given away to corporations. If you come here, we're going to give you X, Y, and Z. You won't have to pay any taxes, this and that. But, you know, when it comes to the workers, you know, always it's the exact opposite. You know, it's how much can we take away? You know, how much lower can we lower their wages? You know, how much cheaper can we get laborers just to go into a factory and put a part together or make a car or anything else, or an appliance? How cheap can we get it done? Because if we can't get it done cheap, Charles, we'll just move it to someplace else where they will make it cheaper. And they've been able to get away with that, you know, got us over the barrel kind of trick here for a long time. And, you know, labor and the unions have been the only ones really standing up against all this stuff. And it really is just, you know, an effort to try and, you know, weaken us in a sense. And when you look at it, you know, Charles, the things they say about this right to work or less stuff is just amazing. You know, they come out with this, oh, this is an anti-union. You know, one of the, you know, legislators came out, this is an anti-union. I said, well, you know, we're the only ones that have to, you know, comply with this. How come it's not, if it wasn't anti-union, why doesn't any other organization that gets dues from its membership have to comply with the same nonsensical rule that they have to have members that don't pay anything but get all the benefits? It's entirely nonsensical, and it's really focused and put right onto organized labor to make us look bad. And I think that is part of, you know, what this whole thing is about. It's some sort of, you know, hey, look at the public image that we can put on unions. Hey, they're against the right to work. But actually, the right to work has nothing whatsoever to do with the discussion at all. You know, Charles, and they talk about all this so-called worker freedom, you know, every individual choice worker's freedom. You know, they forget the fact that unions are organizations, just like any other organization, where majority rules and where there's a democratic process that's how the thing functions and how it works and how people get their rights heard. It's a, you know, basis of our democracy. We got majority rule. Charles, I challenged them and told them that, you know, having been elected in 1999 here and having testified for almost 18 years in the legislature over right to work on numerous occasions, they have never brought one individual name, one name, had one case of anybody that has ever lost their job in the state of Kentucky because they didn't pay union dues or fees, Charles. It is just, you know, unbelievable. It's a biggest hoax that you can imagine. You know, and it's all driven top down. You know, it's all pushed down.
Yeah, it's pushed by
right wingers, ALEC, the Americans for Prosperity, the National Right to Work Committee. You know, they're all in this together, and they, you know, share the wealth, so to speak, Charles, because every one of them was dumping, you know, huge amounts of money in here during this last election cycle to get rid of the Democrats in the state house. And unfortunately, with the wave that swept across the country, on that end of it, that's what we ended up with here. And I think folks, you know, are going to wake up, Charles. You know, we have gotten super positive feedback from our average people, working people, non-union people, about standing up for them, about standing up for prevailing wage, the right thing to do on construction jobs for whether you're union or non-union. You know, standing up against this right to work stuff. They know that if the union movement is diminished and weakened, and then their wages are definitely going to be affected. They all know that without the threat of a union out there, most of these companies would be paying that absolute minimum wage.
Yeah, absolutely. Or they would try and do things to get away with paying far less than that minimum wage. And, you know, and this brings us to violations of state laws. It brings us to violations of federal statutes. It brings us to wage theft. It brings us to health and safety violations. And you know what? These companies, they don't care if people get hurt on the job. They don't care if you're working for no pay because you got ripped off by the boss. The only thing they're concerned about is their quarter, their next quarterly profit margin. And, you know, this has got to stop. And this is not just a union thing. This is not a black-white thing or a man-woman thing. This is, if you work for a living, the only people out there advocating for you and your family are the unions in your community. Because it's not your boss. It's not your company. And it's not your politicians in Kentucky. The only people fighting for you are the unions.
You know, Charles, you say that, and, you know, people may not just get be able to grasp what that means. And I can tell you exactly what it means. And when we are in the state capital, Charles, where the laws are made for the state, there are bazillion business lobbyists, some of them making, you know, ungodly amounts of money, you know, hundreds of thousands lobbying for large corporations. You know, and Charles, when we have a cadre of unions that put lobbyists in Frankfurt as well at the state capitol. And Charles, we're outnumbered. I mean, there's no just way to, you know, sugarcoat it. We're outnumbered probably 10, maybe 20 to 1 from the business lobbyist angle. And Charles, if there weren't union lobbyists and unions being represented at the state capitol, standing up for workers like we've done for decades, so long, Charles, without getting any, you know, real, we'll say, you know, recognition or, you know, notice that, hey, without the unions out here in Frankfurt, these laws would be passed willy-nilly left and right because there'd be nobody standing up against those corporate interests. And, they, you know, that's where the divergence is. It's those, you know, corporate interests that are interested in, you know, expanding their businesses, but they can never get to the point where they could make this, you know, leap to accept the fact that if unions and workers are happier and doing better, then their businesses will also be happier and doing better and making more money and having more people be able to spend more money in their shops or for cars or whatever it is they make. You know, and it's really discouraging in that this divergence has occurred where, you know, there's no meeting in the middle here. It's like, we're over here. Let's, you know, try to destroy the unions. Let's try to take away wages and benefits from hardworking Kentuckians. You know, let's take away the prevailing wage. Let's take away their health care. I mean, that's what's going on. They're taking away people's health care by the tens of thousands. It's going to cost everybody more money. They're taking away our prevailing wage so that workers in the industry are going to be paid less money, and there's going to be a lot more people coming in from other states, low-wage workers. We're also going to have a right to work where we have, you know, a less effective collective bargaining agreements because we'll have potentially less union power. So it's a whole, you know, bunch of these things that add up to, you know, a war on workers, basically. And we've said this before. We did it in Indiana, a war on workers, and that's what we're fighting here, Charles.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as you mentioned, it's the union movement that's going to be the, you know, fighting in the forefront of this effort here to try and beat back our, you know, corporate, you know, oppressors, so to speak.
Absolutely. Bill, let us know what we can do to help you and everybody else in Kentucky against this foolhardy silliness. You know, I don't know what to tell you other than that, but it's foolhardy, it's silly, and it does damage to the community. And why, for the love of God, the people are allowing people like the Koch brothers to come into the community and throw around money and then go back home, you know, that's a whole different other deal.
Yep.
Listen, we got to get going, man. How do we find out more about you and the Kentucky AFL?
Well, I invite people to hit our website and Facebook page, which Charles has been getting hit like crazy thanks to all the great coverage we got from the thousands of union members that showed up in Frankfurt. We got KYAFLCIO for our Facebook and AFLCIOKY for our website.
Bill, keep the faith. We've had worse that we had to work through, and we won then. We're going to win now. And every day that people deal with this, we're gaining more and more allies.
You got it, Charles. Thank you.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.